Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NHL, the podcast. Of course, great stuff on the way as always. Sarah Avampato is off. She's got a family situation to deal with. So we bring in from Locked On Coyotes, Rob Leano. Rob, thanks for hopping on, pal. Really appreciate that. What's going on down in AZ in the desert? How you been holding up?
Oh, not too bad. You know, I really enjoying this Arizona weather. It's, you know, it's February, it's 75 degrees, dropping my convertible top while heading to the hockey rink this weekend, so I can't complain.
Yeah, well, I think everybody else in North America can because they're dealing with that crazy nor'easter. And up here in Canada, it's freezing cold as usual in early February. So enjoy the top down on the convertible. Enjoy no snow. And really, really rub some salt into that wound for the rest of us, Rob. We appreciate that. Anyway, let's get down to business.
I love bragging all the time.
Oh, yeah, of course. You got to stir the pot a little bit. In the West, in the Central, a few things that have popped up recently. In the Central, let's start there. We saw Patrick Laine finally get into action with the Columbus Blue Jackets wearing those horrible reverse retros that they had on against the Dallas Stars. They lose to the Stars. How do you think that fit with Laine is going to work out in Columbus? Do you think it's a match made in heaven? And do you think people are forgetting about Jack Roslovic a little bit here?
Oh, man, I look at it and it's really hard for me to really comprehend because I've been a big Patrick Laine fan since he was drafted. Now, obviously, I was one of the ones that was advocating for him winning the Calder that many years ago. You know, maybe I do think this change in scenery is going to help him out a lot. And him in Columbus, it's, I'm not sure if I can say match made in heaven yet, just because I'm not sure how he's gonna vibe with
John Tortorella.
Coach John Tortorella, like, a lot
Why
of people
would you say
I know
that,
like,
Rob?
Those antics, I think so many people, like a lot of people in Columbus, they want out eventually because they either just don't agree with John Tortorella and or just maybe John Tortorella just hates the hell out of them. I don't know what it is. There's something about John Tortorella where you can't really tell whether or not the players are going to like him or not.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out. And, you know, the thing is, they should have a positive boost offensively with Laine in theory. Roslovic, too, getting an expanded role. They've got that Texier, the Frenchman, up and running. He's been centering their top line. The pieces are there. It seems like they get the goaltending from Korpisalo and Merzlikins, Elvis back there. I'm curious to see. They've got, you know, Seth Jones on defense, Werenski. It feels like this team, if they're going to bounce back and continue to be a plucky, feisty team, the pieces are there. They have the high-end talent in Laine now. We'll see what Roslovic can do. But I'm with you. Really weary sometimes, Tortorella. Some players, it's odd. You know, I've talked to some players that played for him, and they say they absolutely love him. And the guy you see at the podium after the game, giving it back to the media, isn't always the same guy that you get in the locker room. And the guy that loves his animals and rescuing dogs and all of that. But it's going to be an interesting dynamic. We know that Patrick Laine is a character and a personality that was on full display in Winnipeg, but maybe a happy Patrick Laine leads to him cracking the 50-goal plateau at some point in his tenure in Columbus. How about one of the other guys in the Central, Joe Pavelski, another 4-point night for him? You know, for the guys like me and you, I'm not sure how old you are, Rob, but in our mid-30s, watching Joe Pavelski, who's 36, just crank it up this year has been a breath of fresh air. For a Dallas Stars team that, you know, got out, they had to delay their season because of COVID, right? And through seven games, they're 5-1-1. Like, are they for real again? And is Joe Pavelski's production sustainable?
I think it is, and I'll tell you something. Like, definitely not in my 30s yet, but I've been a huge Joe Pavelski fan. I'll tell you this. I grew up in California. I grew up a Sharks fan. Joe Pavelski was my guy. In my closet right now, I have a Joe Pavelski jersey, so I will not hide behind that in any way, shape, or form. So, and when he left San Jose, I was a little upset, But seeing him do well in Dallas, that like 7 points or no, 7 goals, 7 assists.
Yep.
That is phenomenal. And to see him continue that, you know, it does not surprise me. I've been watching him. It's still the same Joe Pavelski that I'm used to watching over the last 15 years. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he's doing this one. I think he will continue this. I think that the people that he has alongside him in Dallas is, it definitely helps him a lot. And I really am excited to see exactly how well he can do this year, if he can keep it up as much as he can, because that's phenomenal what he's doing right now.
Hey, not only is Pavelski on fire, like you said, and he does have a good supporting cast, Jamie Benn, we know that Tyler Seguin's there. That team rose to the occasion, going to the Stanley Cup Final. And, Tampa did what it had to do, and Tampa's off to another good start. COVID run rampant through the Central Division. It's, to me at least, a little bit of a surprise to see Carolina at the top, but it's pretty tight at the top too. And when you look at the Central Division compared to the rest of the league, you know, you've got a handful of teams that haven't even played 10 games yet. Carolina's at 7, Florida's at 6, Dallas's at 7, Tampa's at 7. Only Columbus, Chicago, and Detroit have eclipsed 10 games at this point. So it's been crazy to see. We'll see how things develop over time here, but I really do feel that Dallas and Joe Pavelski have a chance to make a run for the division lead, and it's going to be them and Tampa. Maybe Carolina gets into the mix. I don't know how sustainable it is for Florida, although they've been off. They haven't even lost in regulation to this point, which is fantastic. Good to see that they're doing that. But, man, Chicago is the Hawks. I mean, they don't have any goaltending, let's be honest with each other. Nashville seems like they're on the decline. The Red Wings are the Red Wings, and don't expect big things from them. So I think it's 5 teams fighting for 4 spots. And quite frankly, when all is said and done, I see this being a group where we're watching Florida and Columbus duke it out for that last spot, because Carolina, Dallas, and Tampa are the class of that division. I'll stick with this, Rob. It is a soft division. Let's switch focus over to the West. We're watching COVID run rampant on the Vegas Golden Knights. Things were delayed there. We saw St. Louis dealing with issues with COVID. But more importantly, maybe, is the injury bug hitting Nathan MacKinnon. He's the superstar for the Avs, among many superstars on that team. How much do you think that that's going to hurt the Avs over the next couple of weeks? Do you think they have the depth to withstand that in a bit tougher Western Division, but still, ultimately, this might be the second weakest in the entire league?
Yeah, I mean, losing MacKinnon is, or a player as a caliber as MacKinnon, is always big for any team. But I think, you know, Colorado has that depth. They have, like, I was going through their roster when Arizona went to go play them in the playoffs the other year. I mean, yes, they have slightly different players, but, you know, I can go down and name a few players. For example, one like Jonas Donskoy, and looking at a kind of see if we can get a couple of the other ones. But it's just, no matter what, this is a deep Colorado team, and I won't say that they're not going to be as super as they were with Nathan MacKinnon, but they're still going to be probably, you know, competing as a top three team in the West. Because really, I look at really the other teams in the West, and like you said, this is also not a great division, with the three California teams probably battling for, you know, the bottom of the division.
It's so weird to say that too, because for so long, there were California teams at the top of the Western Conference standings. Last year was the first year in 20 years, or since 1996, that all three California teams didn't even make the postseason, which is bizarre. But here they are, each one of them in a different stage of the rebuild. You've got your Arizona Coyotes that you cover for Locked On in that mix as well. Do you see any of Los Angeles, Anaheim, Arizona, or San Jose making a play for a playoff spot, or is this just St. Louis, Colorado, mini, and Vegas running away with it in your eyes?
I've said this many times over the last couple of weeks. I've said this before. I wouldn't put it past the Coyotes to fight for that fourth spot. It could be that bias in me, but I've watched a lot of these guys develop covering the Tucson Roadrunners, mm-hmm. and I've been a huge Connor Garland fan, and he continues to impress me every freaking day. Darcy Kuemper is, one of the better goaltenders in the division. So they still have the pieces. But my problem is they're a super young team, and they just don't know how to finish games. They can't play a full 60-minute game. That's my problem. And looking at the other teams, like I said, I don't see any of the California teams making any push. So it would really be just Arizona trying to fight Minnesota probably for that fourth spot come towards the end of the season. But I'm a little less confident now in the Coyotes than I was, 2 weeks ago.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. Yeah, it's a word now. 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry bar chia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. And then, of course, you've got the 12 original flavors. My personal favorite out of all those, salted caramel. Good stuff indeed. There's also banana bread in there, peanut butter, German chocolate, raspberry, coconut almond. The list goes on and on and on. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Built bars are healthy, and they're great for the health-conscious guy or girl. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Today's flavor profile, we're going to go with coconut almond, 8 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON, locked on, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
You're listening to Locked On NHL. Tom Gazzola, Rob Leanio from Locked On Coyotes with you. Sarah Avampato is away this week. She'll be back next week. Look forward to that. Of course, Rob, we hit on the Central. We hit on the Coyotes. And you look at the top of the standings, and all of a sudden, the Stanley Cup champions from a couple of years ago are back at the top. Actually have a better record than the Avs. They played one less game than the Avalanche. Both teams tied at 15 points. Like you mentioned, Nathan MacKinnon should be missing about a week or two. And they've got the depth. They've got Rantanen. They've got Landeskog, Makar. It's just been clicking nicely for the Avalanche. But when all said and done at the end of the season, are the Blues the team that could knock off the Avs? Or is this just Colorado's division entirely, like a lot of people predict? Because there are a ton of pundits and prognosticators that said, hey, this is the year of the Avalanche. They're going to take it. I'm not going to lie to you, Rob. When I look at the Avs, I say that is an excellent team. But that goaltending could let them down, just like it did in the postseason in 2020.
Yeah, when I look at this Avalanche team, I'm with you on that. Goaltending was probably their weakest spot, but I've always said this, that this is the closest to a super team that you can get in the National Hockey League. I said this at the beginning of the season. This is Colorado's division to take. It'd probably be I had my top three teams but seeing the run that St. Louis is on, it would not surprise me to see them make a push to maybe knock off Colorado.
Well, it's interesting too with the Blues. Like their leading goal scorer, Braden Schenn. So that's not a surprise. But their leading point getter is Jordan Kyrou. And you would expect to see Ryan O'Reilly at the top, Jaden Schwartz, Schenn, of course, David Perron. It's kind of by committee the way they're getting it done. Even Mike Hoffman threw 9 games, 2 goals, 3 assists. Maybe that's him just getting used to his new team. But I'm wondering, if COVID hadn't run rampant through the Blues last season after they got back to playing in the summer, maybe they could have made a better run. Do you think that's entirely possible, or do you think that the Blues were just fatigued after winning the Stanley Cup the year prior?
Man, that's tough, because it's like, I will say this. I like, it was still a solid team. that last year. And I think the having COVID run rampant through them, I mean, that's going to take a toll on any team, really.
Sure.
So it made it, I'll say, yeah, it made a big effect on that. If it didn't happen, do I think that they could have made a run push for the cup final? That I don't know. Because we saw what, you know, Dallas did on the West.
Yep.
And I can't put it past that they probably still would have been that top team in the West, the Western Conference, no matter what. That was a great run that Dallas had. So I'll say the Blues could have had maybe a couple rounds if in them, but
right.
I think Dallas probably still would have made it in the end.
Yeah, no, you got a team of destiny like that, and they can just run through any team. Doesn't matter if they're defending Stanley Cup champs or anything like that. Hey, you got a good look at St. Louis. They were taking on the Coyotes. They beat the Coyotes 4-3. Anything stand out to you about the Blues? Justin Falk scored just a ridiculous goal. What did you take away from watching those games?
Well, I say again, this Blues team is they surprised me in a way that I don't know. You know, I shouldn't even say surprised is the word for it. I underestimated them earlier in the year. I was like, you know, they lost some guys. They traded away Jake Allen. They let Alex Pietrangelo go. That's a huge key in defense that they lost. It's like, I just don't know if they're going to be that great of a team. And don't get me wrong, they still got, you know, those top guys like you named, and Braden Schenn and David Perron, Ryan O'Reilly, and you know, and so on.
Torrey Krug now to try to fill that gap for Pietrangelo. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of didn't think about that. It's like, oh, you know, they lost the two guys that they lost. Those are pretty key players. They might take a step back. Probably still going to be one of the better teams in the division, but they won't be one or two. And watching them against Arizona and seeing, now obviously I personally thought Arizona played well that game too, but to see, you know, St. Louis continue to battle back, and some of the shots, I think I can't remember who got that first one. I think it was Mike Hoffman that got that first one. I was like, really? We're gonna have a game like this? So a game like Mike Hoffman, a guy like Mike Hoffman is the one that scored the first one against the Coyotes. But again, it's a deep team, and I think it's one like what you said. It's a one where this team is scoring by committee. It doesn't have to be that top two lines. It's all the way down that depth chart.
Are we ready for some football? There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% off welcome bonus. The Super Bowl is almost here as we get set for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Can the Chiefs repeat, or does Tom Brady still have a little bit of magic left in that arm? Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus.
It is the Locked On NHL podcast. Tom Gazzola with you. Rob Leano from Locked On Coyotes coming at you on this Wednesday. And Rob, you know, we hit on some stuff in the Central and the West. Looking at the league on a bigger scope here, we've got this outdoor situation at Lake Tahoe, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And the teams are already starting to prep. We've got Vegas taking on Colorado, and Boston and Philadelphia. The games go February 20th and February 21st. The first games to go, we'll see the Golden Knights take on the Avs, and then we'll see Boston take on Philly the next day. What do you make of this Lake Tahoe outdoor game with no fans? Because we know there's limited fans in buildings this season to this point. Where you are in AZ, they're allowing a certain number of fans. But do you like this concept of playing on the frozen lake of Lake Tahoe? And do you think it's weird at all? Like, how do you embrace? I know we've seen Stadium Series, Winter Classics, Heritage Classics.
What do you make of this whole outdoor thing at Lake Tahoe?
I am full for this game in Lake Tahoe for a couple reasons. One, I grew up only about 3, maybe 4 hours away from Lake Tahoe. So like I'm familiar with that place. That place is like, I mean, if I wanted to go to the snow, that's my place. Two, and it's a beautiful place. And I saw the renderings of the of what it would look like. And I'm like, man, like if the NHL pulls this off and makes a really good event out of it, obviously no fans. Like it's like I will be full for this. And the two teams that they're doing, making, trying to sell it, are the two games, especially the, of course, the ones on the West, with the Vegas Colorado game. Like it will make some for some fun hockey. I will say that. And again, you want to, I've always wanted to see a game played, you know, along a lake in the mountains in that kind of scenery. Cause yeah, stadiums are cool, but something about like, you know, that whole pond hockey feeling, it's something special.
As we like to call it up here, the old ODR, outdoor rink in Lake Tahoe. I don't know much about Lake Tahoe. When I heard the NHL was going to do this, I know they looked at Jasper and Banff up here in Alberta, and those are absolutely majestic places. They're federal national parks. So I think there's a little bit of a red tape situation that kind of didn't allow that to occur. So this Lake Tahoe thing to me is pretty neat. At some point, I'd like to see Vegas get a stadium game because the new stadium there looks tremendous. And do you think Arizona would ever get a game at State Farm Stadium, or would they go up to like Sedona or Flagstaff? Could you ever see something like that happening?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of conversations with a lot of colleagues of mine of potential places for Arizona to get an outdoor game. And one of them was kind of in a way of teaming up with the Arizona State team to try to create a game at like Sun Devil Stadium. It's a little bit smaller, but you know, it's in that perfect area, having like, you know, a college game there and a NHL game. And I've been trying to, you know, push this and be really positive about it, because no, I think with the sport of hockey, especially going a lot more here in Arizona, that's something that would be huge. And I don't know how many years away it would be, but I do certainly think that something like that is possible here.
You would do it at Sun Devil Stadium? And do you think it would get cold enough? Because, I mean, I was in Phoenix all of December, and it got cold at night. And I've had a family home down there for years, but still, I don't know if it would be cold enough. Do you think they'd be able to pull that off at Sun Devil Stadium?
It would be tough. They have to schedule it during the perfect time. I know January, and anyone knows January generally is the coldest time of the year in Arizona. And sometimes you might get lows of like 40s, 30s.
Yeah.
I know here in Tucson, it snowed the other day. So that was a weird surprise. Even in Scottsdale, it did snow too. So like we do get cold here in Arizona. It just, you got to find the right time, and it's got to be like perfect. You have to have like complete future knowledge. Like you have to know, it's like, oh yeah, definitely gonna be cold this day, which I don't think anyone can ever do.
Fair enough. I'd like to see it, and I think they'd go to State Farm Stadium, but hey, maybe the technology's there, Rob, where they could take it to Sun Devil Stadium. Great stuff. Thanks again for filling in. Where can anyone catch you if they want to follow up?
Yeah, so you can go ahead and check me out on Locked On Coyotes. I'm over there on, you know, of course, every day, as well as on Twitter at RobLeano1. I'm, you know, tweeting everything Arizona Coyotes, Tucson Roadrunners, occasionally my hometown Sharks, U of A Wildcats, if you're at all a college fan. I'm there everywhere, every day.
Beautiful. Rob, thanks for filling in, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Tom Gazzola for Rob Leano's sake. Thanks for tuning in to the Locked On NHL podcast, your team every day.